So annuities are not just something you see on a Monopoly community chess card. They're actually starting to become quite popular again. Hi, I'm Eric. Myself and my wife Tracy run the Time to Retire channel. And we're here to keep you posted on all things pensions and retirement. So if that's of interest, don't forget to hit the subscribe button. And if you're already subscribed, then please hit the like button as it really does help us to spread the word. So an annuity is a simple product, really. It converts a pension pot into a stream of regular income. So let's say you give £200,000 of your pension pot to an insurance company for a lifetime annuity when you're about 65. They'll ask you lots of questions about your health, and then they'll make an assumption about how long you're going to live. So let's say that you've got an extra 30 years up until you're 95. Then they'll pre you back this money with some interest over the next 30-year period. Now, if you live longer than 95, you win because they continue to pay you. But if you die before you reach 95, then they win because they'll keep the rest of the money. You can buy annuities but also for set period of time. So, for example, it's popular for some 57-year-olds to buy a 10-year annuity that acts as a bit of a breaching income until their estate retirement kicks in at, say, 67. Now, 20 years ago, annuities were really popular. And today, I'm going to be looking at why annuities are not quite as popular as they once were. I'll explore some of the reasons that deter annuity buyers from actually securing their retirement income using an annuity. I'll cover when buying an annuity in stages could be beneficial. And I'll also talk about interest rates and how they impact things. So for a long time, interest rates were spectacularly low, basically since the credit crunch in 2008. And that is until Liz Truss's fiscal event that paid the whole thing. Another reason annuities are less popular is the fault of financial advisors. They're actually incentivized to get you to invest your pension in a drawdown plan so that they can typically charge you about 1% a year for helping you to manage your investments. We call this two-handed advice. And it's not good. So beware of this incentive if you sit down with a financial advisor. There's actually very little choice in who you can buy an annuity off these days, as annuities are a bit less popular than they ever were. And they did tend to lose quite a lot of staff once they did become really unpopular. So we're talking about the likes of Canada Life, the Scottish Widows, and Aviva, Legal & General, Just Retirement, and Standard Life. The decision to buy an annuity will be based on your own circumstances and your own appetite for risks. But let me tell you about a real life example. So a few years back, I was chatting with Sarah and John, and these are a couple I know. And at the time, they were both 55. And Sarah was retiring after spending 30 years working for a big public company. Now, their financial advisor at the time persuaded Sarah to sell her final salary pension and to put the lot into an invested drawdown pension. I was a bit dubious about this at the time. You know, giving up a defined benefit pension to invest in the stock market is not always the best idea. However, I didn't know their kind of full financial position, so I wasn't going to comment on this. A couple of years later, I was chatting to them again, and John was actually retiring from work then. He was 57. And he'd been at the same company since he was 17 as an apprentice. And he built up a great pension pot, a company pension pot. And their financial advisor again advised them this time. But what they said is for John to buy a lifetime annuity. And one that paid out half of his pension to Sarah if he died early. Now it all made sense to me. So Sarah had invested a drawdown pension and was benefiting from higher returns because it was invested in equities in the stock market, whilst John's annuity was providing that kind of base level of security for them. Now, Sarah will have likely had 20% plus returns in the last couple of years as the markets really have rocketed. And a good advisor will walk you through your risk appetite with you, and they'll work out a balance between the level of flexibility you want in terms of accessing that money and the level of guaranteed and certain income that you want. So one way of looking at this decision is to think of it in stages. You don't have to buy an annuity on the day you retire. You may want some flexibility early on. And then as you get into a bit older and you outgrow and settle into a more of a regular routine, then you might decide to take some of your drawdown pension pot and buy an annuity with it later on. Now, younger retirees often start out with leaving, thinking that they want to leave money for their kids, and this is a top priority. But actually, late in retirement, they realize that their kids are now really financially secure. Well, actually, they need to start worrying about themselves. And I think that's the point where annuities start to play an important role, because an annuity can deliver this kind of guaranteed income. We all have three types of expenditure, and we can display that in a pyramid. We have the basic cost of living, which really does need to be guaranteed. It's the essentials. Then we have the middle tier, which is more of our discretionary expenditure, such as holidays and gifts for children, maybe. But, you know, they need to be fairly secure, but you can have some flexibility around them. And then very top of the pile of the pyramid, you've got the real luxury items, the cash you may use to treat yourself to that latest gadget that you don't particularly need, but you want it anyway. Now, this bottom of the pyramid, though, needs to be risk-free. We have to pay the bills or we end up living on the streets. The middle tier also has to be low risk. Now, who wants to not be able to be in a position to buy the grandkids some presents on the birthday? However, the top tier does give you some scope to take some more risk. And remember, generally, the way investing works is the more risk you get, you take, the higher you expect to get paid. Now, annuities are good for the bottom tier. They cover the essential expenditure. And a risk that people many forget to account for is this sequence of returns risk. So imagine you've chosen drawdown for your pension, and you know that you can draw down 6% of your pension each year. Now, if your investments are returning 6%, then you won't be diminishing that core pot of cash that you've got. However, if early on the market crashes and you lose 20%, say, in your first year, then you could run out of money quite quickly if you continue to draw that 6% going forward, because you won't have the time to make it back up. Now, I won't be buying an annuity personally, and this is because I have a few different defined benefit pensions. These are going to pay me a guaranteed amount, much like an annuity, really. And because of these, I'm happy for my pension pot to be invested in equities in a drawdown account. Now, if I didn't have these defined benefit pensions, then I would definitely be converting some of my pension pot into an annuity, because this would help me sleep at night. Much like Sarah and John I talked about earlier, once you have some fixed income covering those basic expenditure needs at the bottom of the pyramid, it makes it so much easier to put your pension pot into some higher risk equities. But are annuities really safe? Well, yes, they're covered by the Financial Service Compensation Scheme, and this scheme has never had to pay out, as annuity providers are generally very secure organizations and they work to strict liquidity rules. So there must be some kind of risk with annuities. Well, of course there is. I mean, one risk is that if you die early, as I mentioned earlier, then the annuity may die with you, and the only winners will be the insurance company. Whereas if you'd put your money in drawdown into equities, then this could be passed on to your dependents. And actually, if you die before you're 71, the whole thing could go to your dependents tax-free, potentially. Now, the other risk, an important risk, is opportunity risk. So while your money is tied up with them, with that insurance company, then you won't have that money in the stock market to take advantage of the, as I say, the 20% plus returns we've seen in the market in the last couple of years. So it's not an easy choice. It's never an easy choice. But make sure you do consider your options and don't feel obligated to do what your employer or the pension provider that you have your employer recommend when you retire. They may have their best interest in mind rather than your own. So anyway, I hope this was useful. And don't forget to subscribe if you did find it useful. And I'll see you on the next one. Cheers.